A bad bitch takes charge of her body, her boundaries, and her bank account. Welcome back, bad bitches. It is officially Make Millions March in the Bad Bitch Empire. And every week in the Bad Bitch Empire membership, we are doing a training to help you step into your millionaire era and start leveling up your money mindset, building unapologetic worth and wealth. Today, I'm here with Sarah Marilyn, who is one of our Bad Bitch Empire members, back again. And Sarah, how has the membership been treating you? How has the trainings been for you?
I am so psyched about the group. The amazing group of women that's in there already has just been blowing my mind over the last few days. The kickoff to Make Millions March had so many thought-provoking points in it, from defining your relationship to money to making us think about our health in different ways and our love and it all intersects with our relationship with money. So I'm feeling so empowered after Monday night session. So I'm super excited to just catch up. There's so much going on in the Bad Bitch Empire.
Well, I'm curious for you, like, what do you think is your biggest money challenge that you went in and you were hoping to solve?
Yeah, I think I had an idea of like a mentality of abundance. And I think I'd been working on it in small steps. And I'd never really attached it to all the other parts of my life. I always thought I compartmentalized. Money was over here, business was over here, and the rest of my life was separate. But as that also enabled me to avoid anything that was stressing me out with my money and just compartmentalize it away. And so having a more integrated approach to how I think about finances or the decisions that we have to make around our finances was super, super helpful. I just started to see everything in my life was connected. And I think that's one thing that we miss is we get insecure about money. We have trauma about money. We disconnect from it. And in my case, I was like avoiding it.
Where do you feel like your avoidance of money comes from?
That's a deep question. I think it comes from a mentality of not having enough, like growing up with not a lot of means, always feeling like resources were limited. And so I developed a mentality of just go make more money, get a job that makes more money, perform well in the job to get a raise. Like I would attack money in that way of just go and get more. And that was like my way of dealing with the fact that I didn't even want to know how much I had. I just sort of like went into this autopilot mode of like, just get more money. And I think even people who have that mentality, even if you are getting money, that doesn't mean that you have a healthy relationship with money. Yeah.
Do you feel like you've connected your money in some way to your own self-worth?
I think I did in the way that I kept thinking I just would just go get more money. I also had that overachieving mental attitude of I'm just going to be better and better and better, and I'm going to achieve more and more and more, and eventually I will have validation or security. And at a certain point, I realized like I achieved so much success. I was one of the best in my career. I was, you know, really on top of my game, and I still had that stress. So that tells you that it's a little deeper. And I think understanding the money trauma helps us navigate all these other traumas too, when you realize that it's connected, that like, yeah, I can go get more money, but the bad relationship to my money should have been a dead giveaway for the the overachieving and all the other negative attitudes.
Yeah. I mean, everything is all connected. We think we can compartmentalize. We think that we can put work over here, personal life over here. But at the end of the day, especially as women, we are meant to be fully integrated. We are meant to be able to express our full emotional range in everything that we do and have our creativity bleed through everything. And when we try to shut off certain parts of ourselves, that is never conducive. And so I found that when I was healing my relationship with money, I also tended to have an avoidant relationship. I was noticing that there are certain ways in which I block myself from receiving money in the same way that I blocked myself from receiving love. And so, as a bit of background for those listening, one of the things that I like to compare your relationship to money with is your relationship to a romantic partner. I love bringing things to dating. And so in the attachment theory of love, there's the anxious attachment style, there's the avoidant attachment style, and there's secure attachment style. As a brief summary, the avoidant attachment style, which it seems like we both have or had, is the idea that you don't really want to deal with it. Like you kind of shove it under the rug. If you ignore it, the problem will go away. And it's usually because you either don't like conflict, you tend to be more passive aggressive, and you like when things are harmonious. And so you just don't want to face it. But as we know, just because you ignore the problem doesn't mean it's going to go away. Just because you ignore your taxes doesn't mean that you don't have to eventually pay them and they won't catch up to you with an even bigger fine. So that's one type of style. Then there's the anxious attachment style, which is when you don't trust yourself to be able to make money. So you save and you never invest and you hoard and you're just hyper vigilant that it's going to leave you. So just like in a romantic relationship, you're afraid that your partner is going to leave you, it's going to abandon you. So you become jealous and possessive and you suffocate them. And of course, that ends up being the very reason why you lose the partner and the love. And oftentimes when you are so hypervigilant with money, you actually block yourself from the abundance that could come to you, right? And then finally, we have a secure relationship. And in a secure relationship, you want to help each other grow. You want to nurture each other. You want to empower each other. You have good communication. Even if they are constantly evolving, you're not afraid that they're going to evolve away from you. You just step up and you meet wherever they are, at whatever level they are. And even if they're having ups and downs, you're going to be there to help support them because you ultimately believe in growth. And this is with money. You're going to have ups and downs. The stock market goes up, stock market goes down. But at the end of the day, you believe in your own ability to make money, to bring value. And I always say that if you can create value in the world, you can make money. And so I've had to come from a place of scarcity, growing up with not much money. When my parents were immigrants, they came with just a few $100s, and learning to adopt a mentality of abundance, which I also think is essential as an entrepreneur, because you have to believe that the money will come as an entrepreneur, especially in those times when you're bootstrapping and there's no funding and you're eating ramen or chips when there's no money flowing in and you're like, I believe it. Let me just keep serving. Let me create value. So yeah, it's definitely an energy to cultivate. And so that's why I started us off in the membership this month with mindset, because mindset is the beginning of everything. Because if you have conflict within yourself, it's going to show up in every aspect of your life, your relationships, your bank account, your health, your friendships, your family. Somehow it's going to come out if you have those insecurities or low self-worth.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes even getting a grasp on your mindset can be hard. And I found it's helpful if you can map your mindset to the behaviors. And for instance, a powerful one is generosity. People who have this millionaire mindset, who are attracting wealth into their lives, they have this trait of generosity. And I've seen the benefits of this in bringing that energy of wealth into my life in so many ways, and not just financially, also being generous with your time and your consideration, doing pro bono work that is meaningful. All of this comes back to you in weird ways. And it's like, the more you do it, the more you invite that energy in. And so you can see what your mindset is in by your behaviors in the world. And like, could I be more generous? Am I being generous? Doesn't mean you should say yes to everything, but observing your behavior, like, are you generous?
Well, where do you think that balance is, though? Because there's also being generous to yourself, right? And one part of the good girl brainwashing is that we tend to prioritize and give to other people, but we put ourselves last in the totem pole. So I'm curious how you balance the generosity and the self-love and prioritization so that you're not ending up in a place where you give so much of yourself that there's nothing left for you.
Yeah. I definitely went through a lot of evolutions in how I behaved in that way. Not all free pro bono work, for instance, is created equal. And one of the biggest breakthroughs I had was when I started focusing on pro bono work that was extremely meaningful to me. And I don't think I had a generous mindset when I started taking pro bono work. I think it was part of the good girl brainwashing, just wanting to please, people pleasing, overachiever type of thing. But what also started happening at the same time was I had this client who was paying me a lot of money and she was treating me terribly, like yelling at me after 9 p.m., like blowing up my phone. I'm like, you gave it to me type of deal. Like it was so stressful, but that was where my biggest paying client. And there came a time, like I was doing free work, I was doing some paid work, and I fired that client. I fired my biggest client. And I just believed that the money would come back to me because I was doing something that mattered to me. Like I was putting my energy in other places, not on this woman who was draining my time or this project that was not making a good use of my resources and my capabilities. And so I think it was slowly like understanding, like, am I just people pleasing? Am I doing it because I think it's something I should do? Or am I actually devoting my time and energy and money on the things that are meaningful? Like throwing your money around, being generous with your money isn't all that. But if you're like at a meaningful gathering and you pick up the tab or you invest in something that's meaningful to yourself, or that's generosity, that's meaningful, it's more connected. So it's, I think, a little bit of discernment. Like you have to understand, is my energy going in the right, is this for me? Or am I just doing it to be giving my energy away, hoping for validation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really about values alignment. And at the end of the day, like you talked about firing your biggest paying client because it wasn't aligned with your values, right? And how people should be treated. And also like an experience that I've had recently was with my public speaking. So I have raised my rates. Oh, big win is I officially got represented by a new public speaking bureau. So a really awesome one. And we raised my rates $10,000. So yes. I'm very excited about that. I had 4 inbound opportunities, 2 of which paid and 1 of which said they didn't have a budget and 1 that said we have a budget, but very little. So immediately as a professional speaker, when I have my heartstrings pulled on because it's like, oh, it's for Women's Month. You know, it's like we have this whole group of women. They really want to hear from you. And right now my speaking engagement, 1 speaking keynote is 5 figures. It's a substantial 5 figures. And I sent her my speaking kit and she was like, oh, that's beyond our budget. Now there was a part of me that was like, oh, should I go back and say, oh, that's all right. I'll lower my prices because I really want to speak to all the women in your group. And so I had this values conflict of this is my price. However, my heart wants to help all these women. And I've actually found that the biggest conflict for me in doing women's empowerment work for the past decade is always this, I want to help. I want to be generous. I want to do good, but I got to make money. And I got to look out for myself. And I have always skewed on the side of being too generous, of wanting to give my time away for free, of wanting to lower my prices so that I can help everybody, only to realize that later, not everybody wants to be helped, right? Not everyone is the best audience for me. Not everyone is the best client or customer for me. And oftentimes, it's actually the people who invest more who value your work more. With our fund, with the Bad Bitch Empire Fund, women who invest $50,000 to join the fund are incredible. They have that energy of abundance. You know, we're all bought into the mission of investing together in the next billion-dollar female-led businesses. We genuinely believe that this fund is going to make a difference and create ROI for us. And sometimes I compare that to the woman who's paying, you know, $50. And sometimes the $50 woman is more of a pain in the ass than the $50,000 woman. And so it's like, it's always very interesting when you think about this balance of value and generosity. And we think sometimes that lowering our prices or doing things for free is going to help more people, but it actually ends up hurting both. You know, that person doesn't get value and then we feel resentful.
Yeah. For some reason, when you said that, I thought of a marketing lesson I learned. And I love marketing lessons because they teach you about human behavior. There is something in the brain for all of these. And I was early in my career, I was working for a big Fortune 500 restaurant brand, managing like a whole division. And this big chain was constantly giving out coupons to their customer base. I mean, it was like, first it was like Flashback Fridays, 5 off margaritas or whatever. Then it was every week they were sending coupons. Like it was like a dramatic slide. They were just trying to get more money. So they kept discounting, giving discounts. Well, they trained their consumer base into expecting coupons. And then you're absolutely right that those customers, more and more service complaints, more and more issues popping up internally. And it was because these customers fundamentally did not respect the food that we were providing. They came in knowing that they were getting a discount service, but then they were trained and like, they came because of the value. So they kept expecting more value for less. And this chain almost went under. They had to close a lot of locations like 10 years ago. And it was tragic because they just trained their entire consumer base. And so I've seen like the seeds of that mentality, like they were doing the discounts and they were raising the revenue and everyone thought things were good. But under the hood, it was this poison that took down a huge company. And it happened over time. And we do the same things to ourselves. We think it's just a coupon. We think we just need to get the numbers up and get through or whatever it is. We're not understanding what's happening beneath the surface when we are just throwing out those discounts and coupons. And here's buy one, get one.
This is really reminding me of relationships. I love the dating parallels, but you see so many women lower their worth. And this is like a conversation around boundaries. So many times, like we have a standard, we have a boundary in our mind, and then we let someone cross our boundary. And we're like, oh, it's okay because I liked him, you know, because I like them. And then you start discounting, you let your boundary slip, you give a little bit here, you give a little bit there. And then what you're basically doing is you're training that person to realize that they can take advantage of you, like that you have weak boundaries, that they can get things at a discount. And then when you do actually realize that you've been discounting yourself and you try to raise your standards again, then they get upset because they didn't expect that. They expected that they would get a discount from you. They expected that it would be easy for them to get what they wanted from you, right? And so we say a bad bitch is a woman who takes charge of her body, her boundaries, and her bank account. And like, it is so important to, from the very beginning, set the standard of what you will or will not accept. And when it comes to pricing too, I've always said that it's hard to go back up again when people start low. And you see this strategy in Uber and Tesla, you know, they started with a product that was like not many people could afford, right? Uber started with Uber Black. The only people who had the money could order special black SUVs. And then eventually they democratized out so that everybody could order an Uber. Same thing with Tesla. It used to be like only certain people could get this like special edition Tesla and it was very expensive. Now they have made it so that they have different levels and other people can get it. But we still think of certain brands as higher end brands. They're quality. And usually when we think about discounts, when we think about, you know, frequent discounts, especially, we think cheap, easily accessible, anybody can get it, right? And so I think it's just so important for us to all really think about the holistic, you know, it literally goes back to how we do one thing is how we do everything, like where we started from. It's just, you can't separate it. If you notice yourself discounting your prices in your business, in your services, are you discounting yourself in other parts of your life?
And it will hold you back because in the relationship aspect, if you are a bad bitch, like you are successful, you are beautiful, you take care of yourself, you take care of your family, you take care of your friends, you epitomize a bad bitch, but you're giving out discounts, you become a target for people who are value poachers because they can't resist. It's like they're getting something for free and they are honing in on that instinct in their lives. And so they target people like that. They're like moths to a flame when you're like this big shiny object and you're handing out discounts. So it affects the attention that you're even bringing to yourself. It's like, if you're wondering why am I not meeting nice guys, is because all these moths are in the way taking up all your attention and time. And so I think it applies for business, finance, relationships. Absolutely. Yeah. If you're building a big business, like, and you want to make a lot of money, but you're starting off like charging bottom rate prices, like you've already started at the bottom. You're not going to survive a race to the bottom. You're already at the bottom and you can't sustain any pressure on your margins if you're at the bottom. So you have to be competitive, and like, it's just part of doing business is like, yeah, you want the money, but really don't sell below your margins. Yeah. Don't put that pressure on yourself or you're never going to make it for the long haul.
Yeah. Well, especially as an entrepreneur, I have noticed in myself that my pricing over time has fluctuated based on my self-worth. And, you know, it's really scary sometimes to see like how closely intertwined. And I think people can also sense it. You know, when you're talking about this example of men, especially narcissistic men, taking advantage of you as a shiny object, and many bad bitches have encountered this. We think we're smart and then we get duped by the narcissist and roped into a toxic relationship, but they can sense the lack of self-worth. And even if you have a nice shiny package on the outside, people will be able to sense if you discount yourself. They will notice the little ways you discount yourself when you put out pricing, the way you show up. I feel like I'm talking simultaneously about relationship and business, but again, it's literally all intertwined. But the moment they notice weakness, they'll take advantage of that. And I think especially if you are a female leader, if you're a female business owner, being very clear on your boundaries with clients as well. You know, what are your working hours? How do you work? How do you set the standards? And if they notice, for example, that you will go overtime for them, that you will always go above and beyond what the scope of the contract said, then they will take advantage of that. And that's the same thing in relationships. If you set a boundary and then they violate that boundary and then you still come back to them, you have now trained them to know that, oh, they can take advantage of you like that.
Yeah, I do this all the time with client work. And one thing I've noticed is those clients that you go out of scope for, that you compromise your boundaries for, does the relationship ever get better with that client? It never does. Once you start compromising, you start working the overtime hours, you start adding things to the scope, they become less and less pleased. And it took me so long to make this connection. In a way, I'm kind of just making this connection now that like those clients never get better. You sacrifice thinking that you're going to benefit in some way, that the client relationship is going to get better, but it never does. And it's true for romantic relationships, even friend relationships. If you keep thinking you're going to pour into this friend who's they're not going to be nicer to you, you know, like it gets worse. I don't know why, but it is, yeah. I've noticed.
Well, so I always bring it back to the tenet of radical self-responsibility, which I talk about in the Bad Bitch Business Bible, like right off the bat in chapter one. And I always bring it back to what's within your control. Right? In what way are you perpetuating a toxic dynamic with the customer, the client, your partner, your friend, right? And what does the behavior say about you? Because when we bring back our power, it means that we do have control of the situation. And so when we see ourselves overextending for a client, letting our boundaries be crossed by a partner or a customer, the question to ask yourself is, why are you doing that?
And I think you're absolutely right that when you do advocate for your boundaries and you are accountable and you stick to it. You know, I had a client one time ask me if I could do paid ads. I hated doing paid ads. I had cut that out of my scope for the longest time. And I would, like, that was a situation. I would have said, sure, I can run some paid ads for you. I said no. And he was like, well, can you refer someone? And it turned out he ended up respecting me more. I was able to hook a friend up with a gig, someone I know who did paid ads. So they got some business and I got more respect because not only was I able to provide someone who is an expert on it, but they just respected my actual domain of expertise, what I was doing so much more because I was like, no, I don't do this extra thing. This is what I do. And that client relationship ended up being really good.
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to this good girl habit of people pleasing. Right? There's a part of us in those client relationships when we don't enforce those boundaries. I feel like, at least for me, that there's probably some sort of subconscious driver of like wanting them to like me or not wanting to be a quote unquote bitch, you know, unlikable. And what do you think that's been for you when you go above and beyond or go outside of scope? Like, what's that good girl driver or belief that's still motivating you to do that?
Well, I think it's exactly that, in the idea that, you know, if you do more, you'll get more appreciation back. And something you said at the beginning, some people don't want to be helped. they might just be asking questions. They might just be seeing what they can get away with. And I think it's like, we believe that if we do more, we'll get more. If we just work harder, we'll get that raise. You know, if we just build a good business, somebody will tell us that it's worth a lot of money. Like, ultimately, we have to carve that out. And I love that concept of radical self-accountability, is because you have to set the terms. You have to value yourself. This was a huge challenging exercise with my startup. Pre-seed, thinking of fundraising, I'm a marketer by trade, and now I'm like building this company, trying to value my company at the pre-seed stage. Like, there's no math you do, or the math is very like abstract at the early stages, right? And if you don't advocate for yourself, nobody else will. So if you believe in yourself, that you are great, but you are not advocating for yourself, charging great prices, facilitating a great client relationship that is respectful of your boundaries, like, achieving greatness, actual greatness that feels good and validating, is actually going to be very, very hard, is what I found.
Yeah. I had a really powerful conversation with a friend the other day where I was really struggling and I needed to launch this thing. And she was just listening to me. And then finally, she just asked me, she was like, can I ask you a question that, you know, might be uncomfortable? And I was like, sure. And she says, why are you doing it if you don't like it? And it was actually a very hard question to answer, because, you know, there were a lot of mixed feelings in me, like, oh, I feel like I have to do it. I feel like I have to show up for other people. I feel like people are expecting things from me, and I can't back down from my word. I made a commitment, and all these things. But it was really eye-opening that that was the first time someone actually just like cut through the noise and said, like, why are you doing this then if you don't like it? And what it came down to was this idea of honoring myself. And she was like, I think that what you actually need to do is honor yourself a bit more, you know, honor things that you value, like really think about what your values are, and does what you're doing align with your values, and have some sort of decision-making matrix to decide if you're going to do it based off of if you actually like it, if you're doing this out of honoring yourself, or are you doing it out of wanting to please other people and wanting to fulfill external expectations and obligations, and then always being on this treadmill of having to do things for other people without the space or the breather to actually check in with yourself.
It's true. For me, it was the external validation. I kept thinking if I did enough work, someone would put a badge and say, you are a good marketer. And then one day I woke up and realized, looked at my track record, all the things I've done, and I was like, I am a great marketer. I can raise my rates. I can do all this. I can have a great work-life balance. I just like internalizing the idea of greatness, I think, is a journey. Undoing the good girl brainwashing is a constant practice. Yeah.
I've had that transformation recently too. Like, even throughout writing my book, I was not a fully fledged bad bitch, and that I had to still break free of good girl brainwashing in order to get to the place where I was really walking the bad bitch walk. And I feel like only recently I finally really started to release like all the remaining blocks that were holding me back from being a bad bitch. And part of this has to do with the abundance and money training that we've been doing in the membership, and me really also coming from a place of abundance, and everything that I've preached about knowing that you are good enough to set these lofty goals and to achieve them. And I can feel it in my bones that the Bad Bitch Empire Fund is going to be successful. We're investing in incredible companies, into incredible female founders. I feel like we're just at the beginning of this rocket ship that's going straight to the moon. And it's not just an intellectual exercise anymore. I feel like the difference is, in the past, there was a part of me that was trying to convince myself that it was possible. It's like, you know, logically, you can state the goal and you might know that it's like a reach goal, but it has to get to a point where you feel it in your body. Like, I trust myself. I know that I follow through. When I say something's going to happen, it always happens. I commit. And I think that part of what's built up my confidence over the years, like even in the past couple months, we've been really building up the Bad Bitch Empire Fund again and bringing in new investors and looking at new companies, is that when I look at my track record, every time I've said I'm going to commit to a big thing, it happens. And it might not happen in the timeline that I think it's going to happen, because you can choose the what, you can't control the when, as we learn. Back in 2019, I was talking about writing a book. Now, like 99% of people want to write a book and less than 1% of people actually officially publish a book, especially via a publisher. And it is now 2024, 5 years later. Back in 2019, I was like, this book needs to get out, like yesterday. And yeah, it's taken me 5 years to get here. And in the same way, like I was very ambitious about my timelines. I was very impatient about it. But everything I've said, the book, the fund, an empire, podcast, brand deals, public speaking engagements, like getting paid to travel the world, going to Croatia for this women's weekend to talk about the book, all of it has manifested. And I think that is what has given me trust in myself that, like, if I say it, it is going to happen because I trust myself to make it happen. Like, I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. I, for one, am totally feeling the energy around the fund as well. The thesis, I could just go on and on. But in terms of like, is you feel it's going to be, it already is successful. I mean, yeah. The early investments of the fund are doing incredibly well. Like, it's mind blowing to think about. Like, do we want to take a second and just like shout out the amazing performance of the early investments of the fund? Because there actually has been some amazing news lately coming out of the portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially like the two to highlight is Miriam Breshna. She had an episode a few episodes ago. She just won Web Summit. She beat out over 1,000 companies and she's just been crushing it on stage. Like, she has such the bad bitch energy, stage presence, and like beating out all the competitors as I knew she would. She just had that fighter winner energy from the very beginning. And then also Sheila of Ohi.ai, they just officially did their launch, raised $6 million in their seed, led by two very prominent venture funds. Sheila is literally one of the only, like one of 22 women who have ever IPO'd with her previous company, Care.com, $500 million exit. And now she's launching a new AI company to address the $10.9 trillion labor gap to empower chief household officers, aka mothers. But yeah, from the beginning, when I launched the fund, the mission was very deep, like resonant with my values in my heart, which was bringing women together to invest in the next billion-dollar female-led businesses that are creating exponential impact for women in the world and leveraging frontier technology to do so. We have Web3 companies, we have AI companies, and it's just really showcasing that women have the capability to use technology to really create the world that we want to see. And I know that if there's anything that I can spot, is I can spot a winner. And this comes from the champions mindset that I had as a gymnast going through nationals and world championships and Pan Am championships and like having that Olympic level mentality. You can just sense when an entrepreneur is like, I don't care what walls are in front of me. I am going to find a way to punch a hole in this wall and keep going. And I don't care how many times I fall, I'm going to get back up. That grit, that unbreakable resilience, that hunger. If I don't sense that hunger, then I can't invest no matter how good the product or how good their technology, because we're investing in early stage companies. And at the end of the day, you can pivot in a million different directions. And as entrepreneurs, especially early stage, we expect that you iterate and you pivot, but you can't teach someone hunger.
Well, and that's one thing that gives me such high conviction about the fund is not only like what a bad bitch is, this is like identifying a winner, but you actually do know how to coach bad bitches and bring people up all these levels to become a bad bitch. So it's powerful to just be exposed to the bad bitch empire. But then what does it look like for a fund that invests in bad bitches? And I think we're already starting to see that with the incredible early wins coming out of these first few investments. And I'm excited to see that stretched out over time is like what female entrepreneurs build this bad bitch mentality, undo their good girl brainwashing, how many more new businesses get started as a result of this, and then how much more early stage female-led companies become successful because mm-hmm. they have this early buy-in of someone who recognizes this mentality. Shout out to Miriam. Shout out to Ohi. You guys are doing amazing. I am thrilled. All the wins in the empire. It's overjoying.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know it's definitely not an easy road, but I think anything worth doing is, is not easy in the beginning, especially, but I think that's what it means to be a trailblazer. That's what it means to be a pioneer. And that's what it means to be a visionary and have the ability to see a world that doesn't yet exist and say, pull the future into the present reality. And when I speak about manifestation, it's like having a very clear vision of what you want to happen, what you want to achieve, and then doing everything in your capacity to make that happen, to open yourself to receiving the opportunities, to creating the ripple effects that will ultimately help you get the thing that you want. And that's when we say like manifesting a vision of the fund, which is having a world that is led by powerful female leaders, leading countries, leading businesses, leading corporations, leading our communities. And all of that starts with women writing checks into the types of businesses that they believe in and then doing well by doing good.
Yeah, I agree. And just thinking back to 50 years ago, women gained the rights to have credit cards and loans in their names. And this is all so recent in human history that even thinking about what's going to happen in the next 50 years, I mean, you've got, female entrepreneurs like Sarah Blakely, Oprah. I mean, now it's abundant. The world is abundant with them. And I think that that's just going to accelerate, especially as more females get into investing and investing in other females. And this mentality becomes a cultural shift. I think we're really going to see it unlocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for every woman, really having that abundance mentality is so key. I say being competitive is passe. Especially in this generation, because every time I do a talk, there's always at least one person or one guy who's like, but I thought women were competitive with each other. And I was like, well, there was a time. And that's because there was something called Queen Bee Syndrome, because the patriarchy created this false narrative that there was only enough room for one woman at the top. And so we bought into this narrative and started to see every single woman as competition, because if there's only room for one woman at the top, then it better be me and I better elbow out all these other women. But
and
like
by a man to choose us, because that was the only way we would ever have a bank account was if a man chose us. A man with a good bank account chose us.
Exactly. And so then it created this thing where women started to hate each other because it felt like they were taking away from each other. And unfortunately, that still exists today. But, I say that I just don't attract those types of women into Bad Bitch Empire. And I think that's the power, again, of manifesting your tribe. And it comes from the fact that like when you put out powerful, generous energy in a way that I say a woman who's truly abundant and truly powerful, she knows that no woman is her competition, because no one can be you and no one can be me. And we all bring our unique superpowers to the table. So in this world of abundance, more for me doesn't mean more for less. It's just like more is more is more is more is more. And when you can actually feel that in your body, that's the energy you give off, and you start only attracting people who have that mentality or want to be closer to that mentality. And you actually end up repelling the people who are competitive or who are scarce-minded. So that's been really cool to manifest the types of women in the Bad Bitch Empire. Even us connecting, I think, at such a cool time, the beginning of 2024, and really kicking things off. Nothing is a true coincidence. It's all the universe just having this grand plan for us and for the people who do take action on the potential that we have and continue to push forward and not give up. The universe will reward you for it.
I couldn't agree more. How do we want to leave everyone with the mental attitude today? Collaboration, growth, money, millionaire mindset. Let's go back to millionaire.
Yes.
March here.
Make millions march. So I want to leave everyone with just the idea that every single thought and every single word and every action has an energetic frequency attached to it. And so we can choose to have thoughts of frustration and stress and scarcity. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I don't have enough money. Nothing's working out for me. I don't have enough time. Or we can choose the energetic frequency of gratitude, of love, of joy, of excitement. And when we choose those things, choose to fully embody it. And even like right now, just stretching out my arms, you know, like moving around, dancing, it's like I am open to receiving versus what so many of us do on our day-to-day is when we like contract our bodies, you know, we're hunched over our computers, we are making ourselves small, we're like gritting ourselves, we're trying to work really hard and it's like so hard to get through the day. And oh my God, this annoying coworker. When you're in that sort of state, you are in a low energetic frequency. And of course, you're not going to be able to call in the wealth, the abundance, the love, the joy into your life. And so just as you go through the day, become conscious of how you show up, the energy with which you show up, because I guarantee that when you consistently show up with joy and kindness and gratitude, the world, the universe will reward you with everything that you want. And I believe that. And so I believe that the Bad Bitch Empire will be flowing with abundance as well. And just you watch, we're going to come back to this episode, you know, in a few years and be like, or in 1 year even. I can't even wait for what's coming up in 2024 because I have some big goals written down of what will manifest by the end of this year. And, you know, I'm going to kick that off with going to Croatia for the Bad Bitch Business Bible Balkan Tour. And we're going to manifest some Bad Bitch LPs into the Bad Bitch Empire Fund. And I know that there's going to be a global fund too. There's just going to be women from around the world who are investing into this fund. And I always say that anyone that I bring into the fund is someone that I would want or could happily be stuck on an island with. So, you know, I take this energy really seriously because I think about, you know, is money all the same? And I think sometimes money can come with bad intentions. You know, money can come with strings attached to it. And so we have to be very aware of who is injecting that money with energy. And so within the Bad Bitch Empire Fund, every single investor and LP that we bring in is someone that aligns with our Bad Bitch Empire values. So our values, ambition, action, and abundance. And is someone that truly believes in our mission and is someone that we would want to spend time with. And so, you know, there's definitely been investors that I've turned down because their energy just did not jive. And I was like, I don't want that.
Pass the vibe check. I didn't pass the vibe check.
Yes, did not pass the vibe check. Yeah, I'm the chief vibes officer. Is that
legitimately? Yes.
Legit. Yeah. I mean, it is a totally legit thing to say. You know, when someone's like, why didn't you like that person? Just like, just the vibes. Like, I just, that's it. Wrong. What that really is, it's feminine intuition. It's truth, right? You got to listen to it. It's like, I just, there's something off with them. You know, I often see this with men. Like sometimes, like, there's just something about the way he treated her that just seemed kind of misogynistic and objectifying. And like, no, that, yeah. No matter how smooth he is, he has shown a hint. And it's oftentimes like those little hints that will show if someone is truly aligned with your values or your mission or not. But that's all to say that every investor in the Bad Bitch Empire to date is someone that we would love to spend time with on an island. And I'm also manifesting Bad Bitch Island. Just you watch. Bad Bitch Island is coming. And anyone invested in the fund in our membership is going to be invited.
Awesome. Shout out to the bad bitches in the Balkans. Come join us. We're so excited to have you.
Woohoo. Bad Bitch Empire goes global. All right, bad bitches. We'll see you in the next episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot, tag me at Lisa Carmen Wang, and make sure you check out thebadbitchempire.com for events, courses, and other cool shit. Thanks for tuning in to The Bad Bitch Empire.